At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So one of the things we know from the parable of the sower, right? You know the parable of the sower. The guys are out and throw seed out. Some lands on the rocky soil, some in the weed, thistle soil, and some in good soil, right? Okay, the Bible tells us, Jesus explains that and says, the seed is the word of God. But what's interesting, if you're in Mark chapter 4, I think it's verse 13, Jesus says this: if you do not understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? That parable is key to interpreting all other parables. And so it tells us, and we'll get to that in a minute, all right? But 2 Timothy tells us that we need to study the word. Be diligent to present yourself approved by God as a workman who is not in need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. This is why I offered a hermeneutics class to guys in the churches, because they need to accurately handle the word of truth. And then the other thing you're supposed to do, and what's interesting, anyway, 2 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes. Mothers, are you listening? Like newborn babes, long for or intensely crave, is Strong's concordance, for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to your salvation. There are a lot of immature saved people. Our churches are full of them across the world, in the United States in particular, because we do not crave the word. What we crave is, make me feel good. What we crave is, or do my friends go to the church there? All kinds of other things. But we're supposed to crave the word. Now, ladies, think about it. When your baby was hungry, could you get it distracted by anything else? Leave my diaper alone? Just feed me. I get like that sometimes, I think. Anyway, not my diaper part. Just feed me, okay? All right? Intensely, like a baby, when a baby's hungry, is eager for, longs for, desires food, desire the word of God that way. Now, those of you that, you know, are older, you learn as you got old, you like foods now you didn't like when you were 10. Right? How come? Well, part of it is somebody said, taste this, and you go, ooh, no. Oh, I don't like it. Well, have you ever tasted it? No, but I don't like it. Because I don't like the way it looks, maybe. I don't know. Okay, my grandson does that. You give him something, he can't recognize it. He's not interested. All right, but then as time goes by, you know, you have to go to someone's house, and mom says you got to eat what's on your plate, and there's the broccoli. So you have to eat it because mom says you're at grandma's or something, and you got to eat the broccoli. And you know, you really didn't care for it, but now that you're 40, 50, 30, whatever it is, you eat broccoli. You begin to get a taste for it. Now, married guys probably can really relate to this, because when you get married, you think mom's cooking. And you don't say it, I don't taste like mom's. You know, I'm coming up on 35 years of being married. For me, even if I go to your house and you make a dish my wife makes, I still expect it to taste like my wife's. After 35 years, that's what I crave, is what my wife makes, not what my mother makes. Well, that's not true, unless I go visit mom. Then she's got things she makes just for me, okay? But it was that, the same way with the Word of God, you got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to actually open it up and read it and if you will, if you allow me to say it this way, develop a taste for that. Get used to it. Part of getting used to it is these crazy little idioms we keep running into. That's part of getting used to it. Is I don't understand the Bible. I know. But once you've read it enough, you know the word know doesn't always mean cognitive understanding. Okay? You learn those kind of things, and that's the process if you'd learned any language. But you're supposed to crave this, and then it says you got to study it. Now, somebody explained to me the difference, if you just think about it. What's the difference between reading it and studying it? So if I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, does anybody not comprehend that? You comprehend it. Now I want you to study it. Does that scripture say that the gospel goes to all people everywhere? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Okay? No, what it says is, God sent his son, that whosoever. People think whosoever means offered to everyone. No, it doesn't. It says this, okay, for God loved the world that whosoever believes will have a eternal life. Whoever is the believer, that's what it's all about. It doesn't say anything about who gets the opportunity. Do you understand the difference? But that's one thing in Armenian we'll bring up to you. What about John 3:16? It says that everybody gets a chance. Really, does it? It says whoever believes. It doesn't say how they get the opportunity. Now you got to go to Romans. Okay? Where Romans says, how will they call upon the one in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? How can they hear unless someone preaches? How can someone preach unless someone is sent? So now it's telling us how it's done, through the preaching of the word. You got a problem, though. Let's go back 1,700 years in the United States. Native Americans will be here. No missionaries ever been here. No Christians ever been here. Who preached the word? How did they get it? Well, everybody gets the chance. So good. Tell me how the Native Americans got that. Well, the Holy Spirit came and preached to them and says, welcome to Mormonism. You just got to show it to me from Scripture. That's all I'm asking. Okay? So you've got to study the word. How many of you read Shakespeare? How many remember reading Shakespeare? Oh, my gosh. Right? Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. Yorick, who's Yorick? All right? And so people study Shakespeare so they can find the deeper meaning in Shakespeare. And that's not God speaking. That's a guy. People stand in front of art in some museum. Oh, what do you think that art means? Oh, this makes me feel that. Yeah, what was he trying to paint? A giraffe. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, but people do it in all kinds of areas. All right? But we're supposed to study the word. Now, when you say study, it makes most people like itch. Because study takes time. Study means you got to read it, look at it, analyze it, look for cross-references, actually get out of concordance. If you don't know what that is, talk to me. I'll get it to you in e-sword. All right? So you're supposed to crave it and study it. Well, I'm going to be honest. If you crave it, you will study it. So listen to me. If you're not a Bible studier, you don't crave the word. You might find it slightly interesting. By the time church is done, you're all usually pretty hungry. I don't have to convince you to go eat because you're craving food. I shouldn't have to convince you to study if you're craving the Word of God. One of the keys we have to understand is that parable of the sower. And I'm going to come to that when we start talking about what things hinder us from hearing from God. I'll come back to the parable of the sower. So God speaks through through the Holy Spirit. So which one up there is first? John 14. Okay. But the helper or the comforter in King James, the Holy Spirit, through the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to you, remembrance to you, all that I have said. So what does the Holy Spirit tell you? What Jesus said. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and tell you something new. Tells you what Jesus said. And so if we are in John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. Good. What's what all truth? Well, in the next chapter, in verse 17, it says, sanctify them. Jesus is praying, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So if the word is truth, and the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth, what will he guide us to? The word. Not a dream you had. I believe God can speak through dreams. As long as that dream takes you to the Word. That's what the Holy Spirit will do, is he will take me to the Word and remind me of what God has said, what Jesus has said. When somebody wants to tell me they got a word from God and it doesn't line up with Scripture, and they're trying to tell me it takes precedent over Scripture, you trying to tell me God told you to divorce your wife so you can go on the mission field, you ain't talking to God and you sure ain't listening. Well, my wife doesn't want to go. I don't care. God's not going to tell you divorce for that. Okay. Another way God speaks is through our conscience. Now watch. One of the things I have up there is Paul talking about his fellow Jewish people and his nation. Okay? And he says this, I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. What is it? That I want the Jewish people to get saved. Can I find that in the Bible? Yes. His conscience wasn't bringing conviction on him or moving in him to do something contrary to Scripture. God was speaking about something that is in Scripture. Then Romans chapter 2. Now, this is speaking of the unbeliever. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles do not have the law, but do instinctively the things of the law. Ready? Everyone has the right to be treated fairly and justly. We call that human rights. According to our founding fathers, those human rights come from where? By our Creator. Okay? So, but they don't want to admit there's a Creator, but they still want to call upon human rights. See, human rights come out of the fact that mankind is made in the image of God, in many ways, Imago Dei, and therefore is sacred, and therefore due a certain dignity. I'm not going to break that all down, okay? If you're not made in God's image, I don't have to treat you with any dignity. But they insist that you do have to treat people with dignity. Slavery is wrong. Oppressing people is wrong. So when the unbeliever does instinctively what the law requires, not having the law, they are a law to themselves. That's postmodernism, relativism we see today. But when they do call upon those kind of laws, right? Don't lie. They don't want you to steal their stuff. They don't want you to lie to them in a business deal. That's the law. When they do that, even though they don't necessarily know the law, in that they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. They know stealing your stuff is wrong. They may not do it as they're stealing your stuff, but you steal theirs, and let's see. Come on, we've all seen that in the movies where, you know, the gangster guys or whatever, you know, they're out stealing, but then somebody stole from the syndicate. That's wrong. Well, wait, you've been stealing from people, extortion and everything. All of a sudden it's wrong when you're stealing my stuff. There are no moral absolutes until I steal your wallet. Then there's a moral absolute. Written law in their hearts. Their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts accusing them. Now, they don't know the Bible. But God says, I put the law in such a place that when that guy steals your stuff, he knows it's wrong. By his conscience. So one of the ways the Holy Spirit does that, and in John 16, it says the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of that sin. So that's one of the things the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, if we're referring back to the law, what are we referring to? The Word. In all cases, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the Word. We're supposed to go to the Word. But even when our conscience convicts, we want to apply the law that's written in that book, whether we know it or not. That takes us back to the Word. So, do you see a theme here? The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and the church ran amok. Eli, those guys were the church of the day. Sin was in the church when there's no word. And when there's no word, there's no vision. And when there's no vision, the people perish. Okay? There's that word perish, by the way, often was translated as chaos, disorder, run amok. That's the deep theological term for today, run amok. So what causes us to not hear God, to not get it, the word of God? And again, we'll go to the parable of the sower, because it tells us what happens to the various seed, and the seed is the word of God, right? Okay? So it tells us what things keep that seed from growing. One, The devil comes and steals it. How does the devil steal the Word of God? Go back to the Garden of Eden. How did he steal the Word of God? He added to it. Okay? God said, ye eat that fruit, you'll die. God didn't say that. He said this and changed one word. Okay? So I'll give you an example. Last week, we talked about God's portion. And I used a naughty word in the church. It's called tithe. And I'm going to be straight. I'm looking out the crowd. And I say, tithe. And I watch people. Some people just went, crossed arms and shook their head. Them preachers always after money. But is that where I went with it? No. Okay. But my point is, we can show that there's a remnant that runs through Scripture. We can show that even among the Israelite Jewish people, when there was a remnant left, when everybody else went back to Babylonian captivity, what percentage was that? A tenth. What's the Latin word for tenth? Tithe. Okay? So you can't tithe and give 8%. You're an eighth, not a tenth. Okay? But I'll give an example. So here you go. You decide, okay, I'm going to buy this, preacher. I'm going to go ahead and try this remnant thing. Okay? So you do it with giving of your time or your money, whatever it is you give to God of, and you do that, and guess what's going to happen? I'll put 10 to 1. I'll put 10 to 1. Get it? 10 to 1 tie. Never mind. Your car will break down. In those particular cases, I could very likely see that's the devil. Or maybe this one. We get in here and we're talking about Bible study, and we're studying, we're talking about loving our spouses, right? So you've decided you're going to be loving to your spouse and so sweet and kind, and you walk out of church. Why'd you turn left? Isn't it faster to go right? Boy, that got quiet. I told you we shouldn't have come here. We never like the food when we're here. I mean, could the devil use your own spouse against what God spoke to you to do? Yeah, God spoke to you about you need to love your wife more, or your husband more. But never fails. Okay? Maybe this talking about Eli. You know, my house, I'm gonna step up and be dad. That's not going to happen in my house. We're going to have godly rules in my house. And yeah, this week your teenager goes crazy. You already look at the statistics, by the way, men. I was looking at it, and Sean McDowell, anybody remember Josh McDowell? Anybody remember Evidence of Evansburg? Okay, his son Sean now writes as well. He wrote a book, Apologetics for the Next Generation. And he's given these statistics. So if mom somehow disengages, leaves the family, whatever, okay, the odds of the teenage kids running amok goes up 30%. If dad, even if he stays in the home and disengages, the chances of the teenager running amok, 68%. Dads, that should be telling you something. Okay? But let's assume, again, you hear that word. It says, I'm going to step up. I'm going to be a godly dad. I'm going to engage in my family. I'm going to do that. Watch out. Because Satan will want to steal that word from you because he can't let you get that victory. Okay? But as we move on, the worries of this world. They ain't going to run from everything. Worrying about that teenager. Worrying about money. Worrying about whether I look spiritual enough on Wednesday nights when I pray with everybody else. Yeah, that kind of worry will keep you from praying with the group. Okay? I think that's pretty straightforward. The deceitfulness of riches. I don't think anybody here has to worry about that, do we? yeah, we do. Because we're Americans. You got more riches than most people on the planet. And I'll prove it to you if you want to later. If you think because you make $30,000 a year, you ain't rich, I'll prove it to you later if you want to talk to me. Then the desire for other stuff of the world. Now, this will get us. All right? Your car spitting and sputtering and spewing. The door handle's falling off. God, why can't I have a nice red truck? Why do I get red on this old beater for? And pretty soon, just for fun, you're driving through the car lots, right? I mean, just to look. I mean, you're just driving through. Of course, they make it so you can't go all the way through anymore, so you get stuck. You know what I mean? So that way a salesman can come out there, all right? But you know, I have seen more people get into debt because they're just looking. It's called the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those things of the world keep us from seeing the word. So when we see the word says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. You don't want to read that, do you? Because you want to go out on Friday night, and mom said no. So you go decide to sneak up behind when dad's not paying attention, right? He's watching the game. Dad, can I go off right? Yeah, whatever, baby. Mom, dad said I can go. Okay? Instead of just opening up the book and says, I'm going to honor my mama and papa. But I don't really like that, man. It's about whether I'm cool. I'm using a teenager because we've all been there. What in this case is desire to be popular, to fit in, to hang with your friends? That never happens to adults, by the way. The Bible says these things are what get us off the word and makes the word unproductive. The word is unfruitful. These things are what makes the word unfruitful in our lives. Let's get real. Those worries of the world and desires of, that's tough stuff. You know what? Because when I see my wife she's gluing the bottom of her shoes, guess what I want to do? Hey, babe, I'm going to buy you some shoes. I'm going to buy you some stuff of this world. But my wife's very frugal, and she probably really would be gluing the bottom of her shoes. But I've told her before, the reason I'm not rich, because nobody would like my wife and my kids. I'm amazed how Donald Trump raised kids that people actually like. Because if I had money, my kids and wife would be spoiled. I would struggle with that. Maybe you wouldn't, but I would. Because I don't like to see my wife and my kids do without things I think that look like to me they want. Not just need. So it's a little harder than it seems just addressing it right here. As we keep reading, we find out that Samuel grew in the Lord. But look at verse 21. The Lord now revealed himself. Remember before, he didn't know him because God hadn't revealed. He revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh. How? By the word. See, the word of God is the self-revelation of God. I ask people, why did God write the Bible? To tell us how to be saved, to go to heaven. He loved us so much, he wants us to get... Really, no. The Bible is the revelation of who God is, how he functions, how he works. And in the process, we learn about salvation. In the process, we learn he's holy and we're not, and there has to be a response to that, and so on. Okay? But what's interesting there, as Samuel got a revelation of who God is, it goes on and talks about his impact in the nation. It's sort of a paraphrase of what's coming in the next chapters. So when he learned who God is by revelation of his word, it didn't just affect him personally. It affected everyone around him. Because if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face in the word, then I'll heal your land. Doesn't say, by the way, if the left, if the liberal, if this... Oh, I'm keep moving. Because you're all getting tired and hungry. My question to you is this. Are you listening? Lord, speak. I'm listening. Do you read your devotion Bible in the morning if you do that because it's the religious thing to do like Samuel was doing over and over? Eli could light the candle blind. But notice what Eli said. Here's what I want you to do. When you hear God speak, say, God, I'm a listening. God, speak to me. How? I'm reading your word. Show me life in your word. Those of you who were there Wednesday night for prayer as I shared about the three widows. Anyway, God spoke to us from the word. The closer you get to the shepherd, the louder his voice becomes. The closer you get to the words of the shepherd, the louder his voice becomes. I don't get anything when I read that, Pastor. I know. You just keep reading, and pretty soon you'll learn to recognize crickets in Times Square. You'll be able to hear God's voice over the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, over the lies of the enemy, and the desire for stuff. You'll go drive through the parking lot and you'll hear the word of God says, I'm your provider. Don't be a borrower. I'll sustain you. You'll hear God's word in that. Let's stand. So here's your challenge. I want you to study the three widows. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 4. No, 1 Kings chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter 4. There's three widows in those stories. The widow, remember, that had, all she had is a little flour and a little oil. You have another widow who had two sons that were going to be sold as slaves, and all she had was a little oil. Then you had the wealthy widow who built a house, or room at on the top of her house for the prophet, but she had no son. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you. You go study those three, see what they have in common, and listen. Ready? Ask God this. Speak, God, I'm listening. Can you do homework? Sit down with your spouse, your kids, read those stories, and look what God says. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you call us to your word, that you desire to speak to us. You have spoken to us in Scripture. God, at times we choose to ignore it because it's difficult or it doesn't say what I like. God, I pray that you give us that hunger like a baby for milk. I ask you to do it in us. If we don't know how to study, if it's not our forte, God, open our eyes. You show us how. God, I pray that this week as people open up and see those three stories of those three widows, that you would open up their hearts, their minds, and their spiritual ears to hear what you have to say to your people. That our homes would be a place where this is what said, God speak, we're listening. We ask these things, God, that you would be glorified in our daily life, right down where we live every day, not just here in church. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.